Hi, I'm Kylie.
And I'm Elliot.
We're hosts of Bad Dad, Rad Dad, a Snack Labs podcast where we look for better dads one movie at a time. Every week, we talk about the movies we watched, the thoughts and feelings they brought up in us, and the best and worst dads we found in them.
Our weekly movie picks can span decades, genres, languages, and more. Plus, we keep it totally spoiler-free so you can discover movies that you want to watch.
So join us every Thursday on our silly little movie journey to hear about the movies we watched that week.
And the dads they made us wish we had. Because
my dad's dead.
And my dad's a deadbeat.
But as far as we're concerned,
not all dads have to be bad.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready to talk about some sex.
Yes, I surely am. Surely am.
Well, another day.
Yesterday was the first day, I think. Yesterday was the first day.
Of what?
Of the new beginning. Of the new world order.
For me. For you? Why is that? Yeah.
Because yesterday was like, today's just an ordinary day. Like, it has some structure.
Life that we are now currently living in, yeah, which is very new compared to what it was a month ago. You mean yesterday was the first day that you were like, oh, I'm used to it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, not for me.
No?
No, man.
What's going on over there?
Fuck no. I don't know. I am going a little crazy. A little cabin fever, just a bit.
Okay.
A little starved for, like, man, I just really want to hug someone.
Yeah.
I almost started crying yesterday cuz I just haven't had a hug.
Oh, babe.
I am so fucking hairy. I am so hairy. It's insane.
I can't see your hair. You're wearing a hat right now.
Well, I'll take it off for you.
Let's see your hair.
There's a lot of hair on my head.
I love it. You look like Beaker from the Muppets a little bit with that hair.
You know what? That statement is going to make me cry later.
Wait, hold on one second. I gotta take a screenshot of this.
Fuck. But it's not even just that. Like, I've got hair on my face, my fucking chest hair is just like going out of whack, like crazy belly hair. Dude, my balls are so hairy. So let's get into grooming practices. When I have a normal dating life and I see people on a regular basis, mm-hmm, I like to have my balls shaved. Yeah. I like to shave my balls.
Why?
I just like smooth balls, and I, you know, not that I ever anticipate that someone's going to suck on my balls, mostly because I've never really requested it. I've never really, like, physically maneuvered into it. I don't know. But I just imagine if I was to give myself, or if I was to give another man fellatio, I would rather that they had a hairless shaft and hairless balls.
Okay.
That's the way I like to think about penises. Mm-hmm. And then with like a little bit of like very well-kept pubes.
Right.
So that's what I do to myself.
Yeah.
I go, this feels good to me. And it feels sexy and it feels clean and it feels like slick. My balls have like a fucking afro right now. And my, I mean like the pubes, like my regular pelvis pubes, like at the base of my dick.
Yeah.
They're developing curls. They're so long that they're curling back in on themselves now.
Yeah.
Two little like sort of like Orthodox tendrils. Jew curls on the and there are two of them and they're not
it's
on the sides.
It's got its own facial hair.
It's got its own religion going on.
Yeah.
And then these like longer hairs on my shaft. But the thing is that I shave them and I razors are super expensive, like men's razors.
Yeah. Women's razors are more expensive.
No, dude, what? No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah, they are.
Dude, I buy the female razors because they're so much goddamn cheaper.
Okay.
So much cheaper.
Okay.
Dude, do you know how much like a pack of five?
Like, yeah, just the blades, right? You're just replacing the blades, yeah.
Do you know how much those are?
Like
for
$27
men?
Or something crazy like that?
Like $99 plus fucking fees.
Well,
it's insane.
Okay.
But here's the thing is that our beautiful and lovely and sweet roommate, Erin,
is tired of cleaning your pubes out of the bathtub drain.
No. No, I get she it. No, that's not it. Also, I don't do that. I mean, I do shave in the shower, but it's just little tiny like speckle hairs. Yeah. When I trim with
those aren't annoying to clean up at all.
No, oh my God, will you just give me a second here? Those just go right down the drain. No one has to clean that. But when I use my clippers, I do that on the floor and then I vacuum immediately.
Oh, interesting. I kind of do it over the toilet.
Huh.
So it just all goes.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it?
So Erin, to continue my story, she went into the bathroom and she turned it into this like sweet little spa. She had candles in there and she put in these like hung these lights and like she just made it this really sweet space for the two of us.
Together?
No. For the two of us to use while it's just the two of us here at the house and to have a little like sanctuary in there. But she threw out, I think she did some like cleaning and she threw out, my razor was like hanging on the thing on, that hangs off the shower head. Like, you know, that you can hang, I don't know, like a loofah on and hold, it holds things. It was holding that and it was, it's gone. I think it was thrown out.
Oh no.
And, obviously I can't go out and get a new one. And I'm not going to be like, my mom's like, hey babe, like I'm coming. I'm going to drop off some food. You need me to pick something up? I'm not going to be like, hey mom, can you pick me up a
package of razors for my
package
pubes.
Of women's razors so I can shave my balls. Also, who am I fucking shaving for?
Yeah, good point. Well, no let one? Me tell you, I came home from our road trip and I was like, I'm not gonna shave my legs ever again. Like right now they're full hair, so I'm just gonna, my hair only grows on my shins and my knees for some reason. It doesn't grow on the backs of my legs very
how dark
much.
Is it
how like, it's how- pretty dark. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty dark. And I was,
and like how much hair are we talking? Are we talking like
much.
My legs? No.
Nah, okay. Not. It's very sparse.
At
least I thought. So when I got home from the road trip, I found in my, you know, in the stash under the bathroom sink where you like collect all the leftover products that you bought and tried and didn't use. There were some wax strips in there. And I've never really had much success with waxing my own legs, but I thought, you know, these are here. It's the end of the world. I might as well use the end of these products that I have been saving. So I put it on my legs and like probably the most successful leg waxing home experience I've had. And I was really pleased with it. But then lo and behold, like, so that was maybe like 3 weeks ago. But then maybe a week ago, I started, just my legs were just like, felt so hairy. And like, there was more hair than ever on them. So I bought some razors, which was not part of my plan. And I swear to God, I shaved my legs. And it was like, there was way more hair than I could have possibly imagined, but most of it was really light and I couldn't see it, but it clogged my razor up. So I shaved both my legs and then I had to throw that blade away. That was it. You know, when what? like you shave something that's hairy and you look at your razor and it's fucking full of hair.
Yeah,
it's
my balls.
Just all jammed in there.
All the
yeah,
time.
Yeah. I was like, well, there's no way I can you clog couldn't... up this razor for two whole legs and then use it again without fucking cutting the shit out of myself.
What? No, yeah. Dude, you go one drag, yeah. Rinse.
Yeah.
Shake. Yeah. Drag, rinse, shake.
Yeah. But it dulls the blade.
You just went drag until everything was done?
No. I did it like that. And every time I went to rinse it, it was clogged with hair. So that by the time I was done with my second leg, I was like, through these blades.
I don't think you're giving those blades enough.
Well, I didn't buy the $100 blades. I bought the disposable blades because I was like, yeah, this is gonna do damage to the blades, so I'll buy the cheap ones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you're basically shaving like just bark, just tree bark off your legs, eh?
Yeah. Oh my God, my body does not love whatever's happening right now, whether it's seasonal or whether it's as a result of this whole
I think it's pandemic.
Like my scalp is so itchy,
dude.
Everything is so itchy. The bottoms of my feet, the skin flaking off the bottom of my feet.
Yeah, everything is changing. We want to hear something even fucking crazier than all this?
Yeah.
So I'm like, unashamedly, I'm jerking off probably 2 times a day at least. Wake up, jerk off. Go to bed, jerk off. Maybe like finish walking the dog, jerk off. You know?
Yeah.
Finish recording this, probably go jerk off. Okay, so like I'm just jerking off out of boredom.
Yeah.
At least 2 times a day. Now, you know as well as I do, as well as like most of the people who've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, I don't produce much cum.
Yeah.
Like my loads are like, if there was a sound to represent my loads, it would be.
Yeah.
That's it. Just like one little like weep or
like a babbling, like a small babble from a babbling brook,
as opposed to like, you know, your average person with a penis going, you know, like okay, so I'm this little like doit, 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 usually and then when I jerk off like more than once in a day or have sex more than once in a day, it changes from the bleep to
just like a puff of
just a puff
dust.
Of nothing. Just okay. So I'm jerking off. I'm coming way more than I normally would out of boredom because of this pandemic, and I'm slinging loads. I don't know what the fuck is going on. But my cum production is like through the roof. Last night when I went to bed, I last night when I went to bed, I came on my own chin.
Oh.
And I literally went, oh my God. Like I was like thrown off. It was the first time I ever was like, well, now I have to get up and go clean myself.
Right.
That never happens.
It's like a Something About Mary kind of throwback where you can just use it as a styling product for your beard.
Holy fuck, dude. Yeah, honestly. You know, I probably should have just rubbed it into my beard. It would have been
moisturizing for the skin. Yeah, some vitamin
E. What the fuck is that all about? What is that all about? How is that even possible?
I don't know. I can't.
Someone listening to this must know what's going on.
I don't know. Maybe it's because you're not getting any other exercise or... Maybe.
Well, I'm exercising. I'm doing yoga.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good. That's good.
Walking taking the dog for like long, long walks.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Thanks for taking care of our boy over there.
Anyway, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Well, I can't masturbate at all. I'm just having a really hard time.
Hard time with your like libido?
Yeah, mostly I think I've discovered it. I had a sort of a revelation or an aha moment. a couple of days ago, and it's good because it's kind of like it's advice I've given in the past, but now I'm like, oh, now I actually have to take my own advice, which is like incorporate some transition time between one activity to another, especially like I'm so happy to be here and I'm having a great time with my dad. You know, he's got late stage cancer and we're hanging out a lot and I'm like really amused by him on a daily basis. And I'm really like kind of into to kind of watching him through this phase of his life. But then I come home and it's like, it's really hard get in the mood. Yeah. I get home and I'm like kind of telling stories about, you know, things that my dad did or my mom did, and like my social circle is limited to basically those two people right now, and Todd, and then my sister Tara, and talking to them, and I'm like, okay, so, you know, I'm not really feeling ready to go, and I realize I haven't been masturbating, so I go and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take a bath when I get home. I'm gonna like listen to music. I'm gonna put a candle on. I'm just gonna put lots of coconut oil in the tub and some drops of something to make me feel, you know, like more sensual. And I bring my like waterproof vibrator in, and I swear to God, like as soon as everything's good to go, I put the vibrator on my body, and like 15 seconds in, I have this flash of my dad's face, and I'm like, okay, this is it. I can't do this. So this has happened. This happens has happened every single time I've tried to masturbate in the last week.
Whoa, interesting.
Yeah, which makes me think about, you know, people we've talked to on the show who have like experienced grief and like how grief can do like weird things and losing people. Yeah. And I've heard of that before. So I'm just aware of it and trying to like, I don't know, get into my, I don't know, you know what, if that's a useful way to put it, like get into my body, but I definitely need to figure out this transition time so that, and like be really relentless with my, like, no, that was earlier today, moving into a different, like putting on a different hat. You know, I'm like not the daughter now in this situation. I'm I don't know. It's just a really,
what a fucking trip.
Yeah.
Is this, I mean, you know, like our libido, waxes and wanes and is always on this roller coaster, but like, is this the first time you've ever experienced something like this? Like as specific to this?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, before I might be trying to masturbate, or I might be trying to like, you know, get into the mood, but invasive thoughts would come in like about stress at school or stress at work or like stress, any other stress. But like, it's very unnerving when it's my parents' face.
Your dad pop. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No.
Hmm. Yeah. So I just have to like, I don't know what to do exactly about that, but. So I'm putting it out there to listeners. Anybody who's been through a similar thing, I'm like, how do I get grounded? And then...
So are you also not having any, like, pandemic sex?
Yeah, here and there. It's, like, infrequent. Actually, so I haven't really been drinking much in March.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Everybody
Holy
else
fuck,
was
babe.
Like...
I've been drinking so much.
Yeah. Everybody was buying all booze for their quarantine. And I was like, well, you know, I think this is the potentially a really sad time and I don't really need the added like chemical sadness to come along with it. But,
good call.
Yesterday.
You're so smart.
Yesterday I did my routine of like online shopping for groceries and cannabis. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go get some wine. Showed up at the wine store. You can't go in. So you just like, it honestly feels like buying groceries in Mexico or buying groceries somewhere where you don't speak the language. And you're like, can I have some red wine? And they just go get you any bottle of red wine or any box of red. Yeah. Like unless you know exactly, you can't go in and you can't look at the products. You can't look at what they have. So you kind of have to know what you want when you walk in. Like people are just like, beer, like,
wait, so you're not allowed to go in and actually touch anything?
Uh-uh.
You just go in and you say,
you stand,
wine please. Six, and they go, yeah. All right, stay right there.
And we'll they go fetch it. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're doing it here, but yeah, interesting.
I bought 4 bottles of wine thinking like, this is like a bottle, maybe a bottle a week. Like I barely drank it all in March, so this might be good. And then last night we put away 2 bottles of wine.
Oh, Jesus.
And today I'm definitely feeling it. But it pandemic was also, it also was like kind of needed, like,
yeah,
you know,
it felt, you gotta release that stress somehow.
Yeah. And it was good. It was great for relieving stress in lots of ways, if you know mm-hmm. what I mean. And then this morning we got up and we watched The Lion King on Disney. The new one.
Oh, interesting. You chose The Lion King over The Tiger King.
Yeah, I don't even know what this Tiger King is, and I don't want to know. It sounds awful.
It's just some fucking just wild shithead named Joe Exotic. Well, that's interesting, babe. I'm all for utilizing this time to like finding ways to distract yourself in this time, as long as it's healthy, done in a healthy way. Good for you for not drinking.
Well,
and I think that's pretty.
I'm having a glass of wine right now. And
I'm drinking a beer right now.
I just don't have the money for it. Like, I just can't afford to drink alcohol anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I made a very large purchase of
alcohol,
some fungus.
I'm
gonna try to figure out the best way to do that. I'm a little afraid to do it alone and then just totally fucking, because like, set and setting is everything when psychedelics are involved.
Yeah.
And although I feel pretty confident in like my ability to handle my psychedelics, I just like every day at the end of the day, I kind of feel spent with all the negativity that I've been just like surrounding myself in.
Yeah.
In terms of the news and all that shit. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
I'm really trying not to watch it, not to look at what's going on.
I know.
Facebook.
So am I, but it's also kind of part of my job with talking about Ellen Sick Boy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Speaking of news, and maybe some good news, that is COVID, in the realm of COVID, I know people are probably fucking sick and tired of talking about it, but this is very like COVID turn me on, centric. So I want to throw to this this article that popped up on Reddit from Newsweek. The headline is "Medical Fetish Site Donates Entire Stock of Scrubs After Being Contacted by Desperate Health Officials." A medical fetish company in the UK has donated its entire stock of disposable scrubs to a hospital after being contacted by, quote, desperate, unquote, health officials. MedFet UK said it had been contacted by National Health Services representatives from across the country who are trying to procure basic protective equipment and clothing for health workers tackling the coronavirus pandemic. The company didn't identify the hospital where it sent the few sets of scrubs it had, but it said it was located in the south of England. MedFet UK added it was scandalous that it was being sought out as last resort supplier for the NHS during a crisis, adding that claims from politicians that health workers were getting what they needed were not true. The article goes on, but there's like a little MedFet UK on Instagram at MedFet_UK, or sorry, on Twitter. They posted like probably from their website, from their merch website, a little image of like the man wearing the scrubs. It just looks so funny. How crazy is that though, eh? Like that, you know, like, I mean, it's really sad that health authorities are in such desperate need of equipment that they need to resort to like the playtime, sexy time, equipment that like is out there. It's like
probably some great latex that they should be looking at.
Oh, dude, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Imagine just latex suits. So imagine all crazy. The doctors in latex just walking around with rubbery,
you know,
bodies.
Sounds kind of hot. I wouldn't mind getting COVID. To tell you the truth, if that was the case. I love that though. I love that someone, I love that someone in like a World Health Organization, like had that thought of going, well, guys, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but I have a FetLife account and I know some people who have legitimate scrubs and gloves and masks in this community. And I'm sure we can get a hand on a couple of them.
Yeah. You know what? We're not as different as we might think. We're all so connected, interconnected.
That's it.
All of our needs are really quite basic and the same.
We don't, babe, we don't have a guest this week. It's just you and I just shooting the shit. We, again, for those of you who aren't aware, we are, we're not together. I'm here in Halifax, holed up in my home, our home. And Bride's on PEI, like she said earlier, taking care of her dad. We're trying to do this the best we can with the equipment that we have and the setup that we have here. Babe, how do you feel about throwing into our Reddit segment where we talk about silly things? So yeah. this one is, I want you to think about this one for a minute. It's a bit of a silly willy one. Ready?
Yeah.
You can make whatever you want appear, but you have to pull it out of your ass. What do you do?
I can have whatever I want if I pull it out of my butt?
You can have anything you want appear, but you have to pull it out of your ass.
Easy.
What is it?
A genie.
You pull a genie out of your ass?
Yeah. They're basically just made of vapor. And then I get three things. I get three wishes.
You really like scam the system there.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
You totally gamed it.
I mean, the first thing I thought was, well, it's got to be something that wouldn't hurt like a motherfucker coming out of my butt. So it really lowers the possibilities. It really limits my choices. Because right now, I got to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot that I'm in want of.
Right.
But you know, if it was a genie, and then it also would buy me some more time to think about some more things. I what about you?
If I could have anything appear that I could, but I had to pull it out of my ass. You know what? I didn't think about it. But I would probably pull out. Golden shit.
Okay. Why? Because it's the right.
Well,
shit.
I'm gonna shit anyway. I shit every day. So why not turn that shit into? Why not be shit that's. Has monetary value.
Totally.
I mean, fuck. I would be making money, I mean, at this rate, on average, 3 to 5 times a day.
That's your job.
Yeah.
That's how you make your money.
That's how I make my money, just shit and gold.
Yeah, that makes actually complete sense to me. I'm not... I wanted to say money, and then I was like, no, you know what? I'm done with this whole system. My biggest fear is that after all this is over, we're all just going to go back to the way we were. Not, we will never be able to go back to the way we were, but...
Yeah, there will never be a way things were.
But everyone will still be like, let's make sure that all the businesses survive. And
yeah, well, we're not going to change. We're not no longer going to be in a capitalistic democratic society.
Really?
No. No, I don't think so. Do you want to hear the top upvoted response to that question?
Yes, please.
This is coming from Delicious Hot Dog. I'd love nothing more than to have a team of scientists dressed in full PPE. That's like safety gear.
Yeah.
dressed in full PPE, slowly pull out a never-ending chain of colorful handkerchiefs from my ass while I'm on my knees in full clown regalia with my face adorned with the honkiest red nose ever conceived. For hours, days, months, years, decades, this team of stunned scientists would pull more and more and more handkerchiefs, each covered in just a bit of uncomfortable mucus or slime, of which the test results cannot confirm or deny whether it is human in origin. Like a cuckoo clock, every half hour I would yuck-a-yuck, giggle, and laugh while honking my clown nose in an inhuman rate. At an inhuman rate. What sanity of the left, scientists, after pulling my handkerchiefs for so long, what sanity of the left, scientists, after pulling my handkerchief for so long? As the generations pass, I would be kept preserved as some grotesque abomination, a thing that must be hidden, but never destroyed. Yet still, brave men and women who dare to read the redacted files and notes of yore scrawled in desperation by those driven mad, yes, these foolhardy scientists will take to my chambers and pull those handkerchiefs once more. They will find no end to it. They will find no happiness, no satisfaction. They will find only the dull horror of the infinite.
Wow. Wow. So
that's a fucking response.
And that, you know what, that what kills me is that that response probably isn't even just like that long because this person is stuck in quarantine. This person put time into that writing. And the thing is, it makes me feel like, you know, I'll never be a writer. I'll never have the patience to sit and write something, you know, that long plus a whole book's worth amount of writing. And he's just, that person just did it and just put it up for free on the internet. And, like that just came.
And now it's being read on a sex and relationships podcast up in Canada.
Yeah. We'll send him them a quarter.
How about that?
Some 50 cents.
Are you feeling more creative? I mean, like, I know that you are in a world of, like, you're in a different situation.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite creative.
Yeah.
In my trapped ways.
I'm kind of jealous. I'm not feeling creative.
You're not feeling that, eh?
No, I'm not feeling creative. I did bring a whole pile of letters that I've been collecting over my life, all letters from my grandmother who passed away just in February. So I have been reading lots of those, and often when I go to write at the end of the day, when I'm kind of like journaling about things that have happened, I'm writing to her, even though she's not ever going to read them because she's dead now. But she's got the longest. Let me just read you this letter. I don't even know what this is. I haven't read this yet. Let's see.
Oh my
Dear
God, people
Bridie.
Have to picture her, but she's like this, like, short,
4.5 feet tall,
like,
round,
old lady who just like who doesn't really talk a whole lot, but listens a whole lot, yeah. And in response to listening, just goes, "Yeah, yeah, I see."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she, I'll just read it. Dear Bridie, I have no idea what year this is. Dear Bridie, Monday morning, 9:30. This is how all of her letters start. Saturday afternoon, 6 p.m. Monday morning, 9:30. Must drop a line before I start to work. Wash clothes, cook dinner, etc. Nice talking to you on phone last night, Bridie, and hearing all the news. Hope your plays are working out for the best. Oh, your plans. Hope you will get the fourth year in at the university, since you have three. Brent and I are fine. Brent just left to go to a doctor's appointment in Kensington, a follow-up from blood work, etc. I'm having problems with my legs, knees. Hard to get moving some days, but I'll try and keep plugging in and doing as much work as I can. Shirley, Bill, and girls are so busy, I hardly see them. Girls go to school and sports in the evening, and Sarah working. I am enclosing a check for $300. Let me know for sure if you need money to come home, and I'll send some. Say hello to Jeremy. Take care. We love you.
Oh, wow. She said say hello to Jeremy.
Yeah, but she didn't spell
your
name
for
right.
Years, I mean, even I believe even like after we were married, she was like, How's your friend?
How's Jason?
How's your friend there?
Jamie. How's Jamie doing?
Oh, what a fucking sweetheart.
Yeah.
I love how she includes things that just really...
Oh, it's so great.
Most certainly don't need to be included. Like, Brent went to town today.
Yeah.
To get his blood work done.
Yeah.
Results will be back in a week. So the doctor says, you know, like, just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like,
it's just so many letters, and then like,
what
like
fuck, what a fucking sweetie.
It's really very very heartwarming to read this. So you asked me, the reason I brought this up is you asked me if I was feeling creative or not. But for a long time, I've been thinking I would collect these letters and do something with them, like maybe write a one woman show or something, and you know, like. I get really inspired in moments about the idea of doing things, but then the day to day, like my days are flying by, and you know, I have a routine of like getting up and making coffee and then going to my parents' place and spending a couple of hours sort of like cleaning up and like making them food and filling my dad's hot water bottle and entertaining him and all of that kind of stuff. And then I come home and you know, it's like, it's just like I make dinner and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't really have time.
How the fuck is there still not enough time in the day during a quarantined, full-on life shutdown pandemic?
My life hasn't really changed. Like, I still, I'm not super,
My life's changed like incredibly. And I'm still like, you know, I look at the clock and I'm like, fuck, it's midnight?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know.
What?
I know. And if I see one more fucking person tell me that now's a great time to learn a second language, I will never open my computer again. Because, well, first of all, I don't even have kids. So the people who have kids and have to keep working from home, that just seems, I can't imagine that must be so hard. Especially with reference to this transition time that I'm talking about. It's like, you know, how do I go from like my work day, not me, but someone, my work day where I have to like put myself in a small little room in the basement, a floor away from my children so that they don't bug me so that I can do my job, to then like, there's not even like a travel time. There's no like, you know, commuting space for me to just like end part of my day and get ready to step into like mom role. You know, I'm really thinking about those people a lot.
Fucking knows, man. Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to do a brain boner?
Yeah.
All right. This is a very long brain boner. Please forgive me as my reading skills are mediocre. My wife and I got into monogamy. For fuck's sake, Jeremy. Off to a great start. My wife and I got into non-monogamy thinking it would be about the sex. And don't get me wrong, we love the sex. A couple of years ago, we met a couple who we really clicked with. They were fully monogamous at the time, but we met them through a group of mutual friends who like to get together every now and then and ingest certain substances that release a lot of serotonin into the brain. So they have never been fully, quote, platonic friends. They are people who we met and built a friendship in a sexy, loving environment. After a year, about a year after we first started hanging out, we got together with them for sex. The sex was hot and fun, and everyone wanted to do it again, so we did. And then again, and again, and again. We all wanted to explore the individual cross-couple relationships as well, so we started regularly going on dates and having sex one-on-one, with group play mixed in occasionally. As these relationships blossomed, we fell in love with each other, deeply. This was an incredible experience. None of us really thought we would ever have the experience of falling in love again, and then we all did. The fact that we found this within the context of two married couples seemed unlikely and special and meant to be. My wife and I loved them individually as a couple. It changed our entire outlook on what non-monogamy could be. Unfortunately, while this greatly enhanced my relationship with my wife, the marriage of our partners unraveled during the course of this relationship. We don't know fully why, but clearly their love and affection for me and my wife has exposed things about their own marriage that they are deeply unhappy with. It seems like a situation where they previously accepted the state of their marriage, and then being with us showed them that so much more was possible and made it so much harder to paper over the cracks in their relationship. Our relationship with them was intense and serious and lasted just over a year. 2 months ago, my wife's boyfriend ended things for all of us. He told me he needed to, quote, save his family. We believe they are close to ending their marriage. We always understood this was a possible ending in this relationship. We accepted that if push came to shove, the marriages would come first. We're still devastated despite that knowledge, but we accept that they need to figure out what to do about their marriage without simultaneously being with us. Here's where the brain boner comes in. We're broken up. It sucks. But we still love these people, and with increasing frequency, they are reaching out to us individually. My ex-girlfriend to me, my wife's ex-boyfriend to her, for emotional support. We want to provide this. It feels good to provide it. But it also comes out with a cost. We feel so good when they reach out and crash hard when those conversations end. And they just aren't in a place where they could reciprocate that support. We understand why, but we still want it badly. If it was an ordinary binary monogamous relationship, I feel like the answer would be simple. The person who decided to end the relationship should not expect unconditional emotional support from their partner, from their former partner. But this feels different. Neither of them wanted to end the relationship with us because of us. They felt that they had reached a point in their own relationship where it was necessary to end things with us to try to save their marriage, or to end it without us being present, without us being a present factor. We don't want to be over them, but we also don't want to be super bummed out when contact with them is inevitably emotional and distressing because they are in obvious distress. Loving them through that distress, even if we can't be together in that way, in the way that we want, feels like a good thing to do that is consistent with our values. That fucking sentence. We want to love these people. We want to help them through this, but they are so fucked up between each other that they really can't reciprocate that love and support to us right now. We don't need it as much, but we feel sad and rejected, and we both deeply miss the emotional and physical intimacy we had built with them. I suppose I don't have a specific question here, but I would love to hear your perspective on how to handle the end of a poly relationship that were never expected to be primary commitments to begin with. We don't want to give up on these people we genuinely deeply love. We said we would be there for them no matter what, and we want to honor that. Also, we're very sad and a little bit bitter about how things ended and where we are now, and we don't want those feelings to consume our day-to-day experience of life. We don't think it's wrong of them to reach out to us for friendship and emotional support, and we want to believe that allowing the relationship to evolve into a non-sexual relationship where we nonetheless love and care for each other is a reasonable goal. On the other hand, they broke our hearts, worse than we've ever experienced. And it's fine to be that way for a while, but I'm worried that if we don't more deliberately distance ourselves from them, we will never really recover from it. Finally, there has been some suggestion that if they do end up divorcing, they may want to rekindle these relationships. It's hard to see us saying no to that because we're not the type to say no, and we have a naive belief in our powers to cure all hurts with our own love and sex. But is that totally crazy? Do we need to let go of what we want here and move on to things we could move on to other things we could have? Any thoughts you might have on this are more than welcome.
Ooh, that was a lot of reading. Yeah.
It was a lot of reading.
Good job.
What are your thoughts on that? It's a really interesting and unique kind of predicament to be in.
Yeah, and it's funny, I feel inclined to answer it as if it was like a friend in a breakup, but there is a problem, I think, when it comes to looking at non-traditional relationships and trying to solve problems with those relationships that you would, using methods you would use in a monogamous relationship.
Sure.
Mostly because I think people who are interested in having non-traditional relationships are interested in it because they don't love the way that things are handled traditionally. Mm. So my first instinct would have been to say, yeah, maybe you're not the best choice for them to be leaning on while they're trying to solve the problems of their own relationship. Like, yeah, you might be close and everything, but they kind of, I feel like they might need them. You know, if they really want to work on things that are just between them, they might not need some distance from people that they're also sort of emotionally involved with, especially if you guys are feeling a little bit hurt and stuff too. Like that, there's not really any space for that right now for them to support you because they're kind of dealing with their own thing. And
yeah, I mean, like the way it was written, it seems like the one of the reasons for their for the couple that's marriage is deteriorating, one of the reasons for that happening in their relationship is because of the things that they learned when they blossomed this new relationship with you and your wife. Yeah. And so if you and your wife are not like directly the reason for them having hardships in their relationship, but you are definitely involved in it. And to have them coming to you still for support, even while things are kind of like crumbling around them, that just seems that just seems problematic to me. Mm. Because what's the difference? Like, what's the difference aside from just not having sex? Like, what has changed?
Yeah,
you're still playing a role where you are. Where you're being used isn't the right word. Like, I'm not using the word used as in like you're being used and chucked aside, but like you're still being used in that relationship to be there for them in some way. And the whole idea of being there for them in multiple ways was one of the things that brought them to this point where they're realizing that their marriage isn't quite up to snuff. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like,
yeah,
I feel like for it to come to any sort of conclusion, there would need to be space between the two couples in order for couple A to, you know, not feel like they need to be there in some way and support. And then couple B for them to like either figure out whether or not they are going to stay together or end things.
Yeah.
And then once that's all said and done with, then perhaps like see where things go. Like, I don't think his last question is of like, is it absolutely crazy for us to consider if they did divorce and then we individually started seeing them? Like, I don't think that's that crazy. I think that's
kind of beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, at least there's a silver lining there to their relationship ending that all of it doesn't end, but
yeah, it's interesting too. Like to think about like how, you know, there's four people there and how many different relationships. Like everybody has a different relationship to each individual person in the group. And you know, you probably came together because you had enough in common and enough interests and priorities sort of in line with each other that you're all probably fairly good friends. And like you're in this situation, so you're probably more likely to get each other than other people in your friend group maybe. And yeah, so I would say honor the space that was initially requested and kind of just see if they're able to work their shit out.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
A biggie.
Yeah.
What do you do? Are you on your phone there?
Yeah.
Get off your phone, dude.
I'm looking at my notes for this call.
Oh. For this recording?
For this recording, yeah.
What do you got in your notes? You got anything there? I got just the tips if you do.
Yeah, I do actually. This was suggested to me, and I've only listened to about one and a half episodes. I find listening to podcasts right now really difficult because I feel like anything that was recorded before all this went down, I'm like, I don't know if this is relevant. You know what I mean? Like, I'm having a bit of a hard time being like, you're talking about shit that does not resemble actual real life anymore. But
because it's not COVID related or something?
Yeah, because I'm just like, I'm boggled because I'm watching a lot of TV and this is the same thing. I'm like, what kind of stories are we going to tell about this time? What is the future of all this storytelling? But anyway, someone did recommend to us that we check out as a really neat sort of cross of Sick Boy and Turn Me On, called a podcast called Dying for Sex.
Oh yeah.
And I listened to one episode and I think they did a really good job. Their production value is really good. It's quite funny. You can tell that they have like their friendship is really strong, and there's like, it's nice when you're listening to like someone who's a protagonist in a story and you're like, what? That's kind of, she tells this story, this massage story, and my reaction to her story was like, oh no, like that's totally not cool that you wouldn't tip that person after that very sexy massage that they gave you. But she was like, yeah, no, I thought it would illegitimize the whole thing. So I didn't tip them. She clearly didn't like understand what was going on. But anyway, all that to say, let's do it. They're very funny little storytellers, and I'm definitely intrigued, even though it's all pre-COVID and totally not relevant to normal life anymore.
It's
still entertaining and very funny. Yeah.
Have you noticed in terms of digesting media, have you noticed an urge to want to stick to more like post-apocalyptic type shit?
Actually, no. I'm having a really hard time picking out entertainment these days, but I've been looking at kind of more nostalgic shit. Like we got a free month or however long we get with Disney Plus, so I'm just watching a lot of old Disney movies.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, my just the tips is C.W. Stone King. C.W. Stone King. I sent you a link there, Brad. Click on it.
Okay, hang on.
I got the blues all about 'em. Ain't no telling what he's gonna do.
I love that.
Can't stop that feeling.
So that's C.W. Stone King.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
That's pretty funky.
Yeah. He's a Australian blues singer. And it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it other than like, I've been trying to figure out how to describe it to myself. And I came up with voodoo jungle blues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
He's got this fucking wicked voice, though. I love it. I love his voice.
How did you come across this?
So I was kind of sitting and thinking about music, and there's this one song on Jack White's latest album, And the song is actually, you should also, anyone listening to this should go fucking check that out. Jack White. Here, let me find the song that I'm thinking of here. Discography. It is his latest album, which is called Boarding House Reach. I think that's his latest album. The song is called Abulia and Acrasia. Abulia and Acrasia. Anyway, it's a song that's like, there's like to like some, you know, some music playing, and then this guy is just talking in the background.
Okay.
And he's just, it's just like this really interesting voice, and he's talking in this like old timey English, and it's a short track. It's kind of like an interlude. It's like just under a minute or just over a minute. And I was just thinking about that song, and I was like, who the fuck is that voice? And I was wondering who it was. So I looked it up, and it was like, that was voiced by C.W. Stone King. I was like, all right, well, who's that? Went to C.W. Stone King. Saw that he was a blues artist. So I was like, okay, YouTube. First thing that came up was this, like, sort of like, you know, he was like at a radio station, like playing a live set of it, and it was a song. And I listened to it, and the first 10 seconds, I was like, oh, holy shit. This is, I really like this. So I looked up, he has three albums, and they're, it's just beautiful. It's like really.
And when do you listen to it? When you're making your HelloFresh? Or
yeah, when I'm cooking. I was listening to it yesterday while I was just kind of like puttering away on some work stuff. While cooking, while cleaning. It's like feel good music. I don't know. It makes me. It's there's something about blues that like is, I find really calming.
Yeah.
And yesterday I was not feeling very calm. And
why?
So I was just, yesterday was like, yesterday I was like, fuck, I'm going to die. COVID's going to kill me. I was thinking about that a lot yesterday.
Really?
And so I was like, okay, you gotta change that shit up.
You gotta listen to some voodoo jungle.
Voodoo jungle blues.
Yeah.
And so it transformed me to a bit of a calmer place.
That's good.
Yeah. So C.W. Stone King, if you want to check him out, I highly, highly suggest it.
Thanks, baby.
All right. Well, do you want to wrap this up? This is like, you know, this is basically us just hanging out.
Yeah.
For an hour.
Well, I would like to say thank you to some more of our patrons.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Is that, this is a good time for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeremy and I are so grateful to all of our patrons on Patreon. Just thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. And thank you especially today to Jim and Kira and Molly and JL. And Michelle, I'm just using first names because I don't know how much you want people to know what smut you're paying for. Jenna and Ian, Dave, Jennifer, Cecily. That is actually one of my very favorite names. Cecily?
Mm-hmm. That's a fake name.
Jessica, Leah, Andrea, Roxy. Also,
Roxy.
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be.
See, Jessica.
Roxy.
That's a fake ass name.
Jessica. Yeah, no kidding. Well, what about Catherine? Super fake name.
Get out of here.
Laura, Nina, and Alicia. You are all superstars in my heart and in our Termion heart. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for the boners. Well, everyone, stay safe out there. You know, stay indoors as much as you can. Help us flatten this curve so that if I am right in my predictions and I do get this, that I can at least go to the hospital and be treated.
Excellent.
So flatten the curve for me, for my own selfish reasons.
Well, and for your listening pleasure, because there really wouldn't be any Termion podcast without you, Jeremy.
Yeah, that's right. You'd have to convince Todd to be your new co-host or something.
Oh man, just me and Bigby.
Just every once in a while Bigby just goes, just lets out a fucking fart. All right, love you all, and I love you, babe, and we'll see you on the other side.
Love you guys.
No, what? That's not what we say. We say, that's it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.